97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You name this one?
Eddie Money. Hold
yeah,
on.
I went deep on the Eddie Money catalog today with this song, Give Me Some Water, and I kind of forgotten about it. Is that a remake? Something tells me that might be a remake.
I don't know. It does kind of sound.
Fred, you remember this one?
No, I'm waiting
Give
for the
song.
I'm waiting for the
song. Not a very good singer, but I do remember the song. I just don't remember the lyrics. There you go. So there you go for a little bumper music here on a Monday afternoon. Sue, you Googling that just to
yep.
see if that is
a... it a remake?
Good song, though. Good song. And
yes.
I have a musical quiz for you guys this afternoon, although I think Fred knows it already. So, Fred, you're not eligible for the musical quiz.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that, Fred. Okay, I can't. It's... Oh, it's because I'm... Oh, jeez. It's called Give Me Some Water, but right. I looked up Cool Cool. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Give okay. Me Some Water is the name of the
some
song.
Some Water. Is it a remake? Okay. Others have asked this. A remake, but I still can't hit
I should have done a preemptive strike on this and had the answer because I didn't realize it was going to be so hard.
All right. Here's what it says. It looks like there's not much info available about whether Eddie Money's Give Me Some Water is a remake.
Well, you know, all I'd have to really do is go on title here and then zip over and I see the credits, and I can do that in a little bit. But here's my musical quiz for you. And, Fred, if you don't know the answer,
okay.
you can play. Do you know the answer? Do you
well,
know
I don't
if
know
you
the
know
question.
The answer? Well, then, really? You need the question before you know if you
oh
know the
gosh,
answer?
Oh, my gosh, Mark.
Come
what
on, man.
Are you talking about?
So, listen to this. This is at a dive bar in Las Vegas called Dino's, and this dude walks in and just starts singing. You know, they're doing karaoke, right? So here's what happened during this, on this Saturday night. Listen to this guy sing. He's pretty good, too, if you hear him, if I can get the thing to come up here. Now, he went up there, and he had this kind of shaggy hair. It didn't look like a very good haircut. Thick black glasses and an awkward suit. It didn't look like his suit even fit him. But he could sing, can he? Mainly because that's Chris Martin from Coldplay singing a new song called All My Love. And he was there for the iHeart Music Festival. That's a competing radio company. But they do this thing at T-Mobile Arena, which is called the iHeart Music Festival. So they took a crew in to Dino's. And the film crew knew what was happening. The bar staff didn't know. And the people in the audience didn't know. And, of course, then he gets to the end. Let's see if I have the end of the song here because he thanks everyone. And I'll get to the end here. And again, he looks kind of goofy, but the crowd loved him. They just loved it here. And I think Chris says very politely, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, the story does not say if they did the big reveal after that, but then the video went viral. So I'm not sure if, you know, he pulled the hat off at the last second, or not the hat, but the wig, and said, hey, look, it's me, Chris Martin. But I've always wondered, actually, I've wondered about that very scenario. Like, do artists ever, because not everyone is as well recognized as Chris Martin, but did they ever go and just sing karaoke just to see what people would
maybe.
Say?
Maybe.
I know, right?
That's
kind
pretty
of fun.
Cool, though.
Yeah,
it
I
is,
like that.
It is cool. I liked it. So, wait, Ethan, I can't hear you because I don't
Big
think
news.
I have a microphone.
Eddie which... Money wrote that song.
He did.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ethan, say that again. What are you doing there?
I was going to say the equivalent of that is when there's been videos in the past where, like, Jeff Gordon will draw. Well,
I
will,
love those videos, Ethan.
Or disguise himself,
yeah, yes,
or
yes, yes.
Jared
Goat,
Goff,
yes.
or Eli Manning, and the you know, they'll try out for miscellaneous.
See, I love that.
Okay.
Division III college football team, and then they just start throwing 50-yard bombs. Jeff Gordon's
awesome.
Taking his driver's license, and then he starts ripping it on the.
Oh,
I've
he
seen
goes
that one.
To a
it's
dealership
amazing.
And
yeah,
says, "Yeah, let me
right.
test drive this car." Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, those are fun for sure. All right, let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Do I have any audio highlights?
No, because it's one of those Mondays.
Good.
Yeah,
simplify
everything
it
is fine.
That's actually a relief for me today, Sue.
How was the weekend, Mark? You do okay with the golf and the such and the whatnot?
Yes, I'd like to thank Fred and the gang who bid on the package to play golf at Forest Hills with me at the Break Room concerts. We had a great time. I was telling Sue, the first three holes were just a disaster, and somehow I pulled through, had a good time. I regretted taking Friday off because I cleaned my house for like 4 hours. That's what I did on a day
oh
off.
Oh, my God. gosh.
But we got Duke's staples out of his belly. He's doing great after emergency surgery. We went to Mizzou. I'll address some of that nonsense with Frank. Look, the bottom line, can I just do this real quick?
Yeah.
Just because I said I would have. They're terrible. And there's no way that this is a top 25 team, a top 30 team in the country. They're certainly not a college football playoff team. And I watched a great game on Friday night, and this pains me to say this. It really does. It hurts me deep inside my soul. But I watched Illinois and Nebraska play.
Ooh.
And I had to root for Illinois because I hate Nebraska. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Both of those teams are better than Mizzou. They both belong to be higher ranked
Mark,
than Mizzou.
You are just like every other dramatic Mizzou fan.
Dude,
you guys are going to be
awful.
Fine.
What is wrong with Brady right now? He doesn't look good. The only thing that's working is the running game. They seem to have found something. No, I'm sorry. I call it like I see it. They're awful. Now, they got a bye week. Can they put something together and still beat Texas A&M? But they barely beat Vanderbilt.
That was always going to be a sleeper game.
No,
Vanderbilt's the best they've been in a long time.
Not in two overtimes.
I'm not saying that it was a clean game. I'm not saying that at all. But you have a bye coming up. You just had a great win against a ranked Boston College. That was always going to be a trap game.
Why are you, of all people, Ethan Hanford, a Mizzou apologist? You're a Lindenwood guy.
I don't care. I don't even like Mizzou. I just think that you guys are being so dramatic about this.
How did Lindenwood do this weekend?
Lindenwood beat Minnesota St. Thomas 64-0.
Nice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, for people who don't, can we welcome Ethan to the fray officially?
I don't even know. Let's do it. I saw an email that said we
can. We do that officially? So
yeah,
Ethan
we
is
can.
Now our new Dave Klein Abby. I don't know. So Dave was the producer emeritus, first producer emeritus. Abby is the second producer emeritus. Ethan will probably be here for a few months, and then he'll become a producer emeritus.
But he's
with us for now.
Thanks.
And
welcome,
he's also
Ethan.
The voice of Lindenwood football, right?
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That is nice. You guys missed it because on Friday we met Fred's sister, Yvonne.
Oh, nice. Yes. That's right.
How'd that go?
It was great. She was downtown. She had to do jury duty. So when jury duty was over, I gave her a ride down here. So I had to give her a ride home. So she came over here and hung out for a couple hours.
Tell them about the name pronunciation, Fred.
I've called her Yvonne my whole life. And then like 5 years, well, maybe 3 years ago, she said, you know, it's really Yvonne. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I've called you the wrong name for 60 years.
Slow down. Whoa. Uh-huh. This is your sibling.
That's right.
Yes.
By blood, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. You grew up with her in theory?
Yeah.
She lived in the same house as you.
Of course.
Okay. And you called her what?
Yvonne.
Okay.
As opposed to Yvonne.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Slight variation.
Slight variation.
And she didn't correct you until 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
What do you make of that, Sue? I don't even know how to react to that.
I didn't either. I was the only one here.
She's easy about it. But the key thing is my mom, who named her, called her Yvonne.
Well, then you have an excuse.
I do.
So is it sort of like one of the things that always bugged me? This is going to go back to sports. Like when they go to Green Bay, I say Green Bay, but some people would say Green Bay. You know what I mean? It's
the emphasis is on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like Eva?
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Except she says her name's spelled with a Y, not an E.
No, I get that, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how to...
I know. I'm confused about
all
that.
So I thank Sue for bringing that up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm here for you, Fred. I was confused all weekend.
Can I also ask another question as a point of clarification? She lives here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Have we ever heard about this sister before?
Because they go garage sailing.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. I have three older sisters.
Are they all here?
Yes, they're all here.
Yeah, they're all here.
It's hard to keep track, Fred. I'm sorry. Oof. I've only worked with you for 17 years, so how would I know these things?
Oh, come on.
let's see. All right, Sue's News. On this day in history, 30 years ago, in 1994, a movie that whenever it's on, you must watch the entire thing, The Shawshank Redemption, was released. That movie is now 30 years old. And 15 years ago, in 2009, Modern Family premiered. It ran for how many seasons, Ethan?
Oh, geez. 12.
Close. Mark Reardon.
14.
Mm-mm.
13.
No, and no two guesses, Fred.
10.
11.
Yeah, so I was going to go 11.
11.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how old
if only you would have gotten a third guess.
I know, right?
Yeah. I would have nailed it.
Right? Oh, gosh.
Sue scolded me.
Yeah, you can't be taken two.
What a great show, though.
It was a great show, especially at the beginning. Before the kids, when the kids get too old, much like the Tina Yothers, it's not as great.
I think the kids did pretty well as they got older. The kid who played Luke was really, to me, very funny. But my daughter went back and watched most of those Modern Family seasons.
The young ones are great.
Yeah. That has a lot of... I think a lot of us have seen every episode of that show probably two or three times.
Well, Cam's daughter, not seen. So, but, you know, your kids. I get it.
You're talking about like Lily?
Yeah, Lily.
Like
not
young
necessarily
Lily and older Lily. I didn't like older Lily. I'll be honest.
That's
I like
what
younger
I'm saying.
Lily. Yeah, okay. Well, I can get down with that.
So, yeah, that's all I'm saying. 3D printing really appears to be the future. Okay. Engineers are working on making glass bricks from 3D printed recycled glass, and they're in the shape of figure eights, and they're kind of designed to interlock like Legos. So they say you can build stuff and then decide a couple years, I don't really like it, undo them and redo it. Now, of course, this would be within a house. But, you know, if you want to do a glass wall or this sort of thing, they're trying to figure out because everything is easily recyclable.
Sure.
This is a story in MIT News, which none of us reads. So I picked it up.
You know, I believe it, though. And you know why I believe it? Because you might remember we got a 3D printer in the spring for my daughter's birthday.
Right. How's that going?
We haven't used it once. We used that, like,
right.
Not even
that's
one
correct.
Time. So, but it's the future, Sue.
It
I
is.
Know it's the future.
It is the future.
I'm just amazed at how much time it takes to print anything on a 3D printer.
How long does it take?
Oh, it's just, you just can't stomach it. It's
Fred's
like 20
sons
minutes.
Actually yeah. use them, Ethan, so he
they
knows.
They make, like, clips for your open potato chip bags and stuff like that
yeah.
just for fun, and it just
yeah.
takes forever.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you say forever, how long is forever?
Oh. 30 minutes?
Okay, but if you order from Amazon, even in the best situations, it'd be hours, Fred. It's quicker than Amazon.
Can you get something, Mark? You could make a chip clip, surely.
Let me just tell you what happens with technology in my home or anything you have to put together or build. That's not my deal. I'm out. So I buy the present.
And then I hand
it off to my wife to supervise the installation and the education. That's not my deal. That is not my deal. It's pretty. It's been pretty clearly established in my family.
Wow. So it's her.
So I blame my wife. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense. Glass is easy to recycle, apparently, and you could use these bricks, take it down, build it up. They're about as strong as concrete blocks, if you could believe that. Oh, I saw this story today. Well, first of all, since we're already near the end of the time after sports talk, I will tell you this. This is sent to me by producer emeritus Dave Klein today, and I love it. There are already predictions being tossed around for the most popular Halloween costumes this year. Okay. 10 is Ghostbusters. Number 9 is Wicked. The movie isn't out yet, but Mark, do the kids know about Wicked?
Oh, yeah.
Even? I mean,
my
daughter would have seen the show.
She's seen it at the Fox twice, but she's very excited.
Okay, good.
Very excited.
Inside Out 2 characters. You could expect some Minions. You could expect, at number 6, Bridgerton characters. If not a character, because, you know, a kid may not know that, they'll probably be in the outfits. Number 5 is Wednesday from the Addams Family. Number 4 is Tay-Tay. Of course, Taylor Swift outfits. What are the kids talking about it already?
About Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So
what's
my
Alexa
daughter yesterday,
say?
Well, this is she made a big decision yesterday on what she's going to be. And I don't know if the crew in here knows what they are. Do you know what a squishmallow is?
I do not.
Okay. A squishmallow is like this. It's almost like a little pet bed. It's soft. And it's like a stuffed animal, but it's super soft and squishy, and they have different looks about them. I'll show you a few of them.
Oh, those are cute.
So she was at Wally World yesterday, and she picked out a squishmallow costume that, you know, she puts over herself, so she made that decision.
Well, they say the number one costume will be Beetlejuice, just because it's back,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
And number 2 will be Deadpool and Wolverine, so if you and your friend want to go out, one can be one and one can be the other. And Disney Descendants was number 3, and I thought, I don't know what that is, but it's next-gen versions of Cinderella and stuff like that, Queen of Hearts and whatnot.
Where is the creativity? So remember back in the day, and I never went to one of these, I just want to make it clear, but when the West End, it was a huge deal for Halloween and they would have the parades.
Yes.
Am I imagining that?
No, you are not. That was a big deal.
Right?
Yes.
I don't even know what happened to it, but what people would do, and let me use an example of something that's rather crass, but I think you're going to know where I'm going. Someone would, see if I can put this together quickly in my head, which I probably can't, someone would wrap a bunch of gauze over themselves and paint a little red on it, and you'd say, "What are you?" And they'd say, "Oh, I'm going as Trump's ear from
are
the assassin."
You kidding me? I see what you're saying.
I'm saying
yes.
Those were the types
yes.
of creative,
yes.
you know, and some of them were gruesome like that.
Yeah,
people did that. Now, I don't know if they still do when they go to the Halloween parties, you know, with friends and stuff. And I'm not suggesting that people do that, but that's the type of thing that would get some attention back in the day, as we like to say.
Yeah, so, it's true.
If you will.
I mean, one year I did just all black leotard, put a stripe down my back and called myself a skunk.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
right. Yeah, yeah. Plus, you put on those masks that you could barely breathe out of and made your face sweat.
The awful plastic.
Oh, yeah, they were terrible.
Becky did this thing, and she won this contest years ago where she had, I can't remember what she used to put around her head, but it looked like a frame, and then she had like a retainer and, you know, was wearing weird clothing, and she went as her high school picture.
Oh, now that's adorable.
Like as her, and she won.
That is really
at
funny.
A contest here in St. Louis. I can't remember. It was like one of those big parties that goes on right before Halloween.
Okay, well, I'm amused by that. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Okay, I saw this. I have never heard this. Martha Stewart once dated Anthony Hopkins, but she broke up with him because she couldn't stop associating him with Hannibal Lecter. So she said, I can't do it. I just can't date you. And that was the end. I mean, I could see how that would happen.
I could see that, too. But that was that before she was in the Huska or after? Because
well,
that might play a role as well.
No mention of the Huska.
Brad Young coming up. Thank you, Sue. That's Sue's News for a Monday edition in the books. All right, we got Cusimano coming up here, as we often do and always do, really, on a Monday and a Friday. We'll talk a little Mizzou and Illinois football. I feel obligated because they played better than Mizzou, even though they're not my favorites. But that's okay. Brad, do you agree with me? Brad Young is with us this afternoon, that Mizzou sucked and they've been overrated the entire season and they're probably going to lose every other game from here on out. I'm kidding about the last part, but I'm a little depressed. I'm a little bummed out right now about the way that this season's going.
I can hear it. That's why anytime you need therapy, Mark, you just call me. Because I'm going to tell you that if Brady Cook plays in the next few games like he played last season, we could go undefeated or near undefeated. If he plays like he played in the last two games, then once again, we're going to be overpromised and underdelivered.
Yeah, it seems weird to me. It really does. He doesn't seem to be clicking. And there's time. And, you know, if we're being honest about Drink's teams, they've gotten better as the year moves along. So there's ample time. And by the way, they have a bye this weekend, so that's helpful. And then they face Texas A&M on the road, so that's not going to be easy. But we'll talk a little bit more with Cusimano on that. Brad, before I get into some of the stuff with this assassination attempt, you had another police officer, David Lee, who was killed here in St. Louis over the weekend because of a migrant that should not have been here who's now been charged with a DWI. And this is a story that once again is going national for St. Louis, Brad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes us look really good, doesn't it? But the other point of this story, obviously, first and foremost, it's tragedy. It's tragic anytime someone dies in an accident like this. It's exponentially more tragic when we have brave police officers passing away because of not just only drunk driving, but activities of illegal aliens.
Yeah.
And we see so often in the debates, in the mainstream media, that anyone who talks about crimes committed by illegal aliens, a.k.a. undocumented workers, anytime we say that, conservatives are mocked. They are marginalized. And yet here's yet another example of someone who clearly could have been deported. He was arrested in 2020 for basically the same charges, DWI. He was assaulting an individual. He stole a car with a child in the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Perfect stuff. Like, he strangled a woman, punched and kicked her. He took a child, drove away, accelerated the car toward her on the street, trying to hit her. He pleaded guilty in 2022 and was sentenced to 5 years probation and parole. There you go. There's a good sentence.
Right. St. Charles reported him to the Department of Homeland Security. After he was arrested in 2020, what happened with that? Crickets. Nothing happened. So this demonstrates that there is an issue. If he had been deported after he was arrested and convicted in 2022, Officer Lee would be alive today. That is unquestionable and inarguable.
I think that two things here are true, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I also think that if you take the immigration status out of the mix here with this guy, it's the same old tired story with a lot of these, kids and I guess not always kids. Multiple violations in the back, pretty serious violations, long rap sheets. And then you say, how the hell was this guy out?
Exactly. And this fits in with the current philosophy of many mainstream prosecutors across the country. We saw it with Kim Gardner, this idea that we really shouldn't be putting anyone behind bars for any significant reason. But this is why we do that, so that repeat offenders don't exponentially increase the severity of their crimes, like this instance, where now we have a police officer who was dedicated to his job. Now he's deceased because of these lax incarceration policies.
Brad Young is back with us, 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst, partner with Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young. We're finding a lot out about, I don't like to say his name, this dude who was clearly trying to kill Trump with the second assassination attempt last weekend in West Palm Beach. And he sat there in what they're now calling a sniper's nest, and he wrote a note that said, look, this was an assassination attempt. He confirmed it for everyone. So if you're in doubt, which I don't think you should have been, he writes a note out saying, look, maybe I failed and I apologize for that. This guy wants to be a hero. He wants to be perceived as a potential hero. You can just feel that.
Well, he even says it in there. He says in his, quote, manifesto, whatever you want to call that note, he specifically stated that he tried his best. It was an assassination attempt on Trump. And then he said, if I'm not successful here, I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job. Now, in all honesty, I don't think this guy had $150,000.
Right.
He didn't have $150, much less $150,000. But the bottom line is that he not only admitted to attempting to assassinate Donald Trump, but he was willing to offer someone else to finish the job.
Now, Trump kind of issued a statement saying, look, what he's being charged with is a slap on the wrist, but you can still build a case with further charges as more information comes along.
Absolutely. And additional charges will be forthcoming. But you have to understand that at the time of the arrest, really, he hadn't done anything at that time of the arrest. So the method for prosecutors is always the same. You charge them with something rock solid, even if it's minor, because you want to take them off the street and put them behind bars. Then you have time to build a case to increase the charges and to increase the incarceration. That's exactly what's happening here.
You know, I think this has been mentioned, Brad, in some of the coverage, but I'm not trying to let the Secret Service off the hook for any of this. I think we know that there's some serious questions, certainly what happened in Pennsylvania, but Trump likes to golf, and we know that. And we also know now from cell phone pings that this guy was doing a little recon, right? And
he
was gambling a little bit. Hey, will he be here? I think he might be, because this is a bit of a pattern. And I don't know how, without shutting down an entire very big perimeter, you could prevent this from happening, because he's outside so much on golf courses. I mean, there's a lot of range there if someone puts their mind to it. So I don't know if they're not going to let him do this between now and the election or what the situation would be, but I don't think he's out of risk, given the fact that his lifestyle puts him at risk all the time.
True. And there's two points on that. First of all, if you look at the information that was released today regarding the info from this guy's cell phones, he had even Googled how to travel from Palm Beach to Mexico. So he was anticipating his method of escape. But secondly, and more to your point, this has been a long-standing issue. I mean, I remember memos going back, multiple presidents going back to at least Bush the first, talking about how golfing outings are a problem,
right,
for the Secret Service, because you have large areas where there might be other people there, and you simply cannot quarantine an entire golf course. So it's a known issue. And if I were on Trump's security team, as much as you could tell him anything, I would say, no golfing until November 6th.
Well, because, and he plays fancy golf courses, but even fancy golf courses have beautiful big homes on them. And what are you going to do? Go through every home and do a search if you're the Secret Service?
Impossible.
It's not feasible, right?
Right. No.
So
no, can't happen.
That is risky. All right. So I'm asking everyone on this Monday, 6 weeks before the election, which would be 6 weeks from tomorrow, where you think the state of the race is right now.
Well, I think if you look at the polling data, and I never look at any polling data until after Labor Day, because any pre-Labor Day polling data is frankly irrelevant. But when you look at the polling data, we're past Labor Day, we're 6 weeks out from the election. If you look at the polling data in most of the swing states, I think at this point, Harris has the advantage. And a slight advantage. But at this point, she has some momentum. She got a bump from the convention, not a huge bump, but she did get a bump. And then after the convention, that slight increase did not go back down. In other words, she is now plateaued at a higher rate than pre-convention. So if things stay the same right now, I think she would win the election. We don't know. There's always what we call the October surprise. We don't know what that would be in this election. But as it stands now, I think she's slightly ahead.
I think she's slightly ahead, but I see a lot of things that are encouraging for Trump in some things that have broken here in the last couple of days. North Carolina and Georgia are still in question, but some polling that is a little bit more encouraging for Trump out of there. And I still love what they're doing on Real Clear Politics, Brad. As you know, they're doing This Day in History. And that was a site that started in 2000 as just a polling site during that election, which became obviously very historic. So they do This Day in History on September 23rd, 2016, 2020, and today. So in the national poll, Hillary Clinton was up 3 points. Biden was up 7.1. And right now, Harris is up 2.2. So that's definitely margin of error. In Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton was up 4.7. She lost Wisconsin in 2016 because her voters didn't turn out. Biden was up 6.9. He won Wisconsin. Harris is up 1 point. So that's very Pennsylvania. 0.7, where Biden led 4.5, Clinton 5.6, Pennsylvania well within grasp. Ohio's an interesting state because Trump was up 1.8 in 2016, Biden was up 2.4 in 2020, and Trump's up overwhelmingly 9 points. I guess my point is the pattern here does show Harris in the lead, but man, these are very, very narrow leads in Nevada, in North Carolina, in Georgia. Anyone who has the lead, really, it's very slight. So I think it can break in either direction. But you're right. Right now, it might look a little bit more favorable to Kamala Harris.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that the polling data really went through a revolution as people switched from landlines to cell phones, and pollsters have had to adjust to that. I mean, the 2016 race will go down in history as one of the most notoriously inaccurate outcomes when it comes to polling. But I think in the 8 years since the 2016 election, you've seen some improvement in polling accuracy because they're switching their models to incorporate these changes in how we communicate. So I think the polling data today is going to be better than what we saw 8 years ago. But clearly, right now, it's still all within the margin of error.
I have a little bit different take on what happened in 2016. I know a lot of people want to point to that. And I'm a person that's never really wavered away from polling because I know there's a science to it. I think that some of it in 2022 was certainly questionable. But if you do look, where they screwed up in 2016 is they didn't really dial in on these states and they assumed some things that they shouldn't have, these pollsters. But overall, when you look at how the race ended, it was a 3-point race with Clinton winning nationally. You know, I guess really it was less than that. I think 2.1, 2.2%. That wasn't too far off from where the polling was showing it was basically a 3-point race, 3-4-point race nationally. So, yes, some of it was wrong, but I also think that it's I trust the polling maybe less today than I did in 2016 because of what you said about the landlines, et cetera. I'm sure that there are more people than there were in 2016 kind of hiding from the pollsters. Wouldn't that sort of be conventional wisdom right now?
Boy, you know, my gut tells me that's right, but I haven't seen any data to back that up.
Well, the pollsters probably have that. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Take care.
My pleasure.
M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
All right, we'll see what happens with your prediction. We'll talk to Cusimano about it.
Both Robinson and Algier in the backfield. Cousins. Robinson stopped in the backfield by Bolton.
Oh, big stop from Nick Bolton. Former Missouri Tiger Frank Cusimano with us. That was huge last night for the Chiefs as they are 3-0. How are you this afternoon, Frank?
Good. I just edited that video, and I found the video about 5 minutes before where Bolton looks like he wasn't going to play football anymore that night. He is just an overachieving, courageous, heroic player. He's the blood and guts of that defense. I'm glad you highlighted him because he deserves it.
Well, the one thing that he does deserve it, but the thing that annoys me is, you know, these guys give their intros when they say, okay, here's the Chiefs defense. And Nick Bolton, all throughout his career so far, has said, you know, Nick Bolton, Mizzou, but he's giving his high school out. And I guess that runs the whole year. That kind of annoys me. Why do these kids do that?
Oh, I hate that.
I know.
Especially when you have such a great experience at the university and you're beloved. I can understand that the coach was kind of a jerk. You didn't get along with them and you were suspended. But please, I don't like that at all.
Frank, let me say what I said earlier in the show, and it pains me to say this, but Mizzou sucks right now, and they don't look like a top 30 team, let alone a college football playoff team. And I said this, too. I thought that my friends over across the river, the Illini, played a great game. What a game on Friday night against Nebraska. Both those teams look better than Mizzou. What the hell is going on? I know we're 4-0. I don't care. They don't look good right now. Something's off.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, you're correct that if Mizzou didn't have that high preseason ranking, if you look at their body of work, narrowly beating Boston College and needing overtime to beat Vandy and then two cupcakes, they probably wouldn't be in the top 25, or maybe right. They'd be towards the bottom of it. But with that said, they are 4-0. and they are 11th in the country, and they have one of the best wide receivers in America. I think they're going to get better and better. But if they play like they did Saturday at College Station, they're going to lose that game. And look, you know, you want to be playing your best football as the season evolves, and that's what they're hoping.
Well, Brady just doesn't look like the same quarterback that he did last year late in the season. So maybe that's part of it, just getting into rhythm and a bit of a learning curve with some new personnel. But he just doesn't look the same to me.
He's a hair off on some long passes, and he misses like a wide-open Luther Burden down the middle of the field. There's no doubt about it. But let's remember this. He's completing 70% of his passes, and the last time I looked, he hasn't committed a turnover in the two most important games of the season. And they've won, I guess, 9 in a row, which is the nation's longest win streak.
And, you know, if you are looking, I try to every once in a while look for positives. The bye week could not come at a better time. I think we'd all agree on that, right, Frank?
Absolutely. And don't forget about this Nate Noel. I mean, we thought that Missouri's running game would take a step back. You had arguably the best running back in America last year. You lose him. And Nate Noel is now third in the SEC in rushing after that 199 yards against Vandy. I talked to Brady about it last night. You know, he's one of the fastest running backs I've ever seen in my life.
Going back to the NFL just briefly here, I thought it was a tremendous Sunday. You got two Monday night games tonight. They're not maybe the best games on the planet, but a lot of close games yesterday, some overtime games, some come from behind. Look, I had written off the Cowboys in their game because they were down by, I think, you know, 20 points, and then I tuned that in late in the day, and they almost came back and won that game. So a pretty good NFL Sunday, I would argue, yesterday, including a great game last night.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the Rams may have been the best game, that comeback against the 49ers.
Yeah.
But it was led, the silver lining is, it's led by the pride of Vianney High School, Kyron Williams, who had that acrobatic touchdown catch, and then he ended up with three touchdowns. He's just insane. I mean, he may be the best running back in the league.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine at the Mizzou game on Saturday, Frank, and I said, and this was kind of evident a little bit yesterday. Sue, I don't know how much you've watched NFL games, but a 50-yard field goal has become like a chip shot.
Yesterday, it's ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous. And yesterday, this kid from Dallas hits a 65-yard field goal.
Dang.
50-yard field goals being chip shots, Frank. Is that sustainable? Because then they become 55 and 60-yard chip shots.
Yeah, that's the trend now. You're right. Field goal kickers, 50 yards is no big deal. Like when I was growing up, oh my gosh, a 50-yard field goal, that's amazing. But now college kickers are doing it, maybe not the Mizzou kicker consistently enough. But here's the thing is, you're seeing a lot of that, but you're not seeing tight ends having big roles. You're not seeing quarterbacks throw for 300 yards. I mean, yesterday was the first performance by a quarterback with 300 yards and three touchdowns, and of all people, it was Andy Dalton, who's been on the bench all season.
Isn't that crazy? I know. There are a lot of quarterbacks that did not have very good starts in their career that are starting to, you know, have some moments in the NFL right now. And that brings us to baseball here, as the final week of the Major League season ends up being very depressing for us here in St. Louis, and I think a lot of people have kind of dialed out at this point, Frank.
Well, you know what I found fascinating was that yesterday I'm listening to Camo X Radio and John Mozeliak talking. For those of us, and there's many people out there who thought that maybe Mo, after this season, even though he's got a year left on his contract, would move to a different role and kind of phase out. That did not sound like a president of baseball operations about to leave. He sounded like a guy that wanted to get to work on the offseason as soon as possible. So as much as many Cardinal fans may be hoping, I don't think it's going to happen. I can't picture Bill DeWitt coming in and saying, okay, John, you've had enough. I thought it would be John doing it, but he didn't sound like a guy who was going to move out on his own.
And I would agree on both fronts there, but then where does that, you know, the fan base is going to say, wait a second, nothing's going to happen?
Yeah, because you don't think Mo's going to fire the manager, and I don't think the manager should be fired, by the way. I think Ali Marmol has done okay with what he's been handed to him by the president of baseball operations. I do think they have this Chaim Bloom, he's in the organization. He was one of the masterminds for the Tampa Bay Rays, and they did a lot of winning with very little money. Then he went to Boston, and they had him trade Mookie Betts, and he got all the blame for that, but he shouldn't get all the blame. So I don't know what's going to happen. After I listened to Mo yesterday, I thought maybe major changes are not happening.
Wow, I got to go back and listen to that interview online. Thank you, Frank. We will talk on Friday afternoon as we get closer to the end of the baseball season. Maybe something will be a little bit more clear by then, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, sir.
All right. Hey, John Ziegler's coming up. We always like to visit with Zig out of the West Coast. He is the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. One of the things I like for a long time about John. In we were friends and became friends in the aftermath of 2008 when he did a documentary on Sarah Palin and media bias with Obama. But he's a straight shooter. He kind of calls it exactly like he sees it. So we'll have Ziegler weigh in. Also, this sports wagering issue in Missouri, a lot of money being put into the pro side. I am on the pro side, but we'll talk about it a little bit with Jack Cardetti, who's working with the group Winning for Missouri Education, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.